Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Not all of us manage to opt out of the mainstream the way Ben Hewitt's family does by unschooling their kids. But on this Labor Day, it's worth asking, how do you find bliss, balance, fulfillment, even if you're stuck in an office most of your working days? Lodro Rinzler, who's been called the cool kids Buddhist, came in last year to give us some ideas. Rinzler is the former executive director of the Boston Shambhala Center and founder of the Institute for Compassionate Leadership. He often writes about how Buddhist meditation can be applied to modern life. And that's the subject of his latest book, The Buddha Walks Into the Office, A Guide to Livelihood for a New Generation.
You know, I'm younger. I'm 31. And I found that when people that come to my talks, they're often leaving college and they don't know exactly what they're going to do for a career. So part of this is, they want to say, I want to help the world. I'm not sure exactly what I want to do. And meditation can help us get specific about that. Mm. So we actually, one of the Tibetan words for meditation is GOM, G-O-M. And it's more directly translated as become familiar with. So we're actually becoming more familiar with what's going on in our own mind. And that's helpful both for finding out what we want to do for our livelihood, but also who we want to be, how we want to manifest on a day-to-day level at work.
Yeah.
And that's really where I think a lot of people are starting to discover meditation is helpful.
You actually wrote about this. It was in Huffington Post, but I know it was taken from this book, this idea that a lot of times, we grow up thinking, what do I want to do when I grow up? Mm-hmm. And a lot of us go on asking that question well into our 30s, 40s, 50s, who knows? But you say there's a better question to ask than what do we want to do when we grow up?
That's exactly it. And I want to preface this by saying, I don't think at a certain point we're done and we say, oh, now I'm a grown-up, right? I think we always think that we're growing up.
Yeah.
But the question is, who do we want to be?
Yeah.
And meditation helps us discover the qualities that we want to cultivate. And as you said, we can set an intention in the morning and try and be present enough to live within that lines of the intention throughout our day and then reflect at the end of the night and see, am I actually being who I want to be in the office?
So what does that mean? I mean, how do we go about, how does your practice help us go about really figuring out who we want to be?
You know, as I said, this is part of this is just becoming familiar with who we are, but part of it's just slowing down because if you are like me, you're constantly surrounded by speed, aggression. Mm-hmm. We've got to get things done.
Right.
So it's saying I'm just going to slow down. It's very countercultural in some sense that we're just going to be present enough to see a situation clearly and then respond skillfully as a result. And that actually, when you start to do that, I think other people in the office start to notice as well and they start to pick up. And it can actually, I've heard people come through the book and they've said, this is changing the culture in my office where I'm starting to slow down. I'm starting to be more present. I'm starting to cultivate kindness, compassion. And then people are opening up in response in different ways than they were in the past.
But do you find that there's sort of, or, you know, respond to the idea? I can imagine a lot of people listening out there and sort of saying, this is all well and good in theory. But when I come into work and, the stuff really hits the fan, talk about slowing down and this, that, and the other, it just isn't realistic. You know, it's 2:49 and our show's on the air in 11 minutes and we got to run. We got to get this done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I understand. But, you know, I bet for everyone that's saying that in their office, there's probably someone else in that office saying the exact same thing. So the question becomes, if we don't do it, who will?
Right.
You know, this is the story of the Buddha, right? This is one guy who sat down, meditated, become more awake as a result, and then was able to change a society. So you could think of our work as a society. We go in every day and we can have an impact in one way or another. We either buy into the speed and aggression that's surrounding us, or we just choose to go in a very different manner and see if people can meet us there.
Yeah. And you suggest using this thing called a mandala to help figure out what you want to do for a career, right?
Yeah.
So tell us how that process works.
Well, this is one of many contemplations that are offered in the Buddha Walks Into the Office. And this is also an exercise we do. You mentioned that I run something called the Institute for Compassionate Leadership, which is the nonprofit that I run, where it's a six-month part-time training program for these sorts of people that say, I want to help the world. I'm not exactly sure what I want to do. And we put them through an exercise where you start to say, what do I want to base my life around? Do I want it to be I'm going to be the CMO of Starbucks and base my life around that? And, you know, all of my aspirations and my day-to-day revolves around that goal? Or do I say, I want to be a kind person? Hmm. Oh, I want to be a generous person. And then if we build our life around that sort of quality that we want to cultivate, there's a much greater chance for happiness than if we say, I need to be this specific job title.
Sure.
Because that's very hard. There's billions of people on the earth. There's only one CMO of Starbucks. But there's a lot of opportunities to be kind, a lot of opportunities to be generous, and our career can be built around that.
So the book sort of includes some how-to strategies. So how do we, you know, give us a kind of working exercise for this this idea of contemplating this mandala?
Sure. So I mentioned just a minute ago that one thing I like to encourage people to do is right when they wake up to set an intention. You know, if I'm saying I'm meeting with a lot of people today, my intention might be I'm going to be very present with all of them. If I'm doing more volunteer work, I might say I'm going to be very generous with my time and my energy and maybe my money. Whatever it is, you sort of gear it toward your day. And then you set reminders. You could set a reminder on your phone. You could put a post-it on your computer. You could, you know, write it somewhere that you'll see it regularly. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, you reflect back and you say, how much did I actually live in line with that intention? Mm-hmm. How much did I manifest as who I want to be today?
Yeah. And what do you hear? I mean, for people who really embrace that and take that into the workplace, what do you hear from them? Does their life change in meaningful ways?
I do. And I hear that they are happier at work because they're not basing their idea of success around I need to accomplish X, Y, and Z, because right after you accomplish that, there's always more things to do. They're basing their idea of success around manifesting a life that they feel is good for them and of benefit to others.
You know, one of the challenges, I think, is that we often think about what we do when we go to work as sort of separate from everything else we're doing in life or everything else we want to do in life. And it seems like you're advocating bringing the whole kind of kit and caboodle together. I mean, life, love, in work, out of work, whatever it is, sort of apply the same energy to that.
You're spot on, Anthony. It's really, people say, okay, I'm going to break my spiritual life, my meditation practice, my religious beliefs over here. I'm going to put my work over here. And this is saying we've got to bring them together so that we can actually live our 9-to-5, our work day, as a spiritual practice.
Listeners, we're talking to Lodro Rinzler. He's a teacher in the Shambhala Buddhist lineage. He's the founder of the Institute for Compassionate Leadership, and he's author of The Buddha Walks Into the Office, A Guide to Livelihood for a New Generation. We invite you to join this conversation, whether you're a boss, an employee. We want to hear from you. Have you considered bringing mindfulness, meditation, to your workplace? What do you think? Do you have a question for Lodro Rinzler about this sort of thing? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter and at Radio Boston. John is calling from Roslindale. Hi, John. You're on the air with Lodro Rinzler.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm a fairly mindful person. I try to be present. I try to stay with it, and I meditate pretty often. But I work in an ER. I work in a hospital setting where it's like definitely high-paced, very like micromanaging little crises is part of what we do every day. How do you stay mindful in that kind of setting? How do you stay mindful and present and kind when you're faced with all these challenges?
John, it's a great question, and I just to be absolutely clear for our listeners, he works, Lodro, in an ER, in an emergency room, so you can imagine the kind of pressure he's dealing with.
Yeah, John, that's a great question, and there's a chapter in here about a friend of mine, Marina, who's a nurse, and she also worked in the ER for a number of years, and now she's in private practice, but I asked her at one point, I said, how are you able to do what you do? And she says, I just show up and I do it. And I imagine that might be your experience too, John, that you just, at a certain point, you're well-trained, you're present because you've been meditating regularly, and then you're able to manifest in a way that might be more clear if you hadn't been meditating when you're not at work. And there's some aspect here of just do it. And it's such an interesting thing because this was adopted by Nike, right? Like, you know, it means let's get quicker, let's get speedier. And here, just do it is just show up for whatever is right in front of you. So there's, as we were talking about before, a one-pointed quality to bringing out the meditation practice at work. It's just actually showing up when you're with that patient, being fully with that patient and their family and hearing their concerns, and then going right to the room next door and being fully present with whoever's there. Easier said than done, and I'm sure that's been your experience, that it is easier said than done. But if you have a strong meditation practice, you can practice even when distracted. So I wish you luck, John. It's certainly, and thank you for doing the work that you do.
Indeed, John. Thanks for the call. I want to ask you, too, about, and this is something that's sort of near and dear to us in the world of sort of news and journalism and deadlines, and that is working with deadlines. A lot of people have to work with deadlines, and it can just seem impossible to be mindful with a deadline bearing down on you. How do you, what's the response there?
Well, you know, I think for many of us, we give in to the habitual momentum, you could say, of work. And it's like, if I know I have to do something by 5, I put all of my energy into it and I start neglecting my own self-care. Mm-hmm. I start tuning out all of my environmental cues. I'm just one-pointed. And then my work isn't as good as a result. Yeah. One of the things I often recommend for people who are really on intense deadlines is to do something, once again, a little countercultural. You set a timer on your phone. Every hour, when that timer goes off, you just lift your gaze a little bit. And if you're at home right now, you could do that. And just take a breath, reconnect to your body, and just rest your mind. Raise your gaze, rest your mind for about 30 seconds, a minute, and then come back to your work. Mm. So you actually take a fresh start point of view, and that's when creativity actually starts to seep in. Mm.
So I think one of the things that I do, I don't think it's particularly Buddhist, is I'm sort of a physically nervous guy. I need to move a lot. So mm-hmm. if I'm really focused on something, I get up and walk around the office. I don't really have any purpose in that walk other than just to sort of do what you said, lift my head and breathe and, mm-hmm. and reconnect with myself. Sounds like it's along those lines.
It is, yeah. I mean, once again, so much of what we're talking about here is taking care of yourself so that you can take care of others and take care of the work that needs to be done. So, you know, it's not necessarily meditation that you're doing, but you're in that general umbrella of, I'm going to drink a lot of water. I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to stretch my legs. And it's actually, there's these very ancient teachings from Tibet known as the Four Exhilarations, which I will share. And people make a big deal. Oh, they came out of the caves of Tibet so many centuries ago. And it comes down to, can you eat well in a day? Do you get enough sleep? Do you meditate? And do you exercise? And if you can do all four of those things in a day, you're taking care of yourself. You have a lot more energy than you would normally in the office.
All right. Let's take another call. Irene is calling from Bedford. Irene, you're on the air.
Well, I'm a teacher of transcendental meditation. And so I just want to say that works for me for a job. but also, I just want to say I agree with what your guest is saying about meditation and all that, or about mindfulness, what he's describing as mindfulness. But we would describe it a little bit differently in terms of what happens when you go to work. If you're in a very fast-paced environment or you have a lot of responsibility, basically the experience of meditation is an experience. And then when you come out, and so that would be the time when you slow down, and actually your body actually does slow down, and there's research that shows all your heart rate and breath rate and everything slow down. And then your mind rests and also gets very enlivened and expanded. And then you come out and go into dynamic activity, and you can speed up and you can go really fast. And it's not something you have to think about or try to maintain or anything like that. It's just with you very automatically. And actually, you can't lose it. Once you do it, you've got the benefit of that, and you just bring it with you in terms of whatever you do.
All right, Irene, thanks. Lodro, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, thank you, Irene, and that's great. It's lovely to hear another perspective. Obviously, transcendental meditation, Buddhist meditation, both types of meditation, but very different. And yet, the common denominator there is completely spot on, which is the more we do it, the more it actually sinks into our bones. And it's a little bit, you know, we're in the studio here. We've got a guitar. If you pick up a guitar 10 minutes a day, you start to play around with it. You start to learn it. You can get really good. All of a sudden, you're in a garage band, right? But if you pick it up 10 minutes once and then you put it down, you're not going to really learn it. So it's that sense of playing with it and having that level of joy as you play around with it for 10 minutes a day until it seeps into your bones, and then it can be years. But as Irene just pointed out, you can pick up the guitar years later and it's still there. You can still know how to play it.
Well, the important thing is to pick up that guitar.
Exactly. So that's what I recommend, 10 minutes a day for most people.
Lodro, I'm just wondering how important it is to have if you really want to take this to the point of it making a difference and changing the way you feel and exist around your workplace, do you need buy-in from your coworkers, from your supervisors? Or is this, you know, to create a culture that really embraces these values?
You know, it's so often people say, you know, I want to practice meditation at work and I want to make it. More often than not, you need to show, not tell. Like, you don't need to, like, let everyone know that you've been meditating. It's the fact that you start showing up, and you're really there with people. You're showing up for work in a way that you may not have before, and they pick up on that, and that sort of creates a different culture. I don't think you need to go in and, like, warn everyone that you've started this weird Buddhist thing. You know, it's probably better that you don't. It's better that you just manifest the practice without having to say a lot about it.
That's Lodro Rinzler. He's the founder of the Institute for Compassionate Leadership. His book is The Buddha Walks Into the Office, A Guide to Livelihood for a New Generation.